This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When it comes to diversity, who really counts? That's the challenging question raised by my next guest in a piece she wrote for the Huffington Post. It was born out of some important insights that dawned on her as she stood in front of her class and really listened to her students. She's a professor of history, law, Afro-American, and African studies at the University of Michigan. Martha S. Jones, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you had a real aha moment in the winter of 2010 as you were meeting the students in your seminar. What were they saying that really hit you?
What really hit me is that they were so open to talking about identity. And in particular, when we talked about the subject of race, marriage, and history in the United States, they were eager to talk about their own family histories, their own family experiences, and specifically to identify themselves as mixed race people.
And that hit you because of your own history.
Exactly. What I explained is that I, too, came from a mixed race family, but as you can imagine, I'm a generation before my students. Mm-hmm. And in that case, in my experience, being mixed race wasn't an option. It wasn't part of our vocabulary. It wasn't part of our cultural experience. I was raised, if you will, pursuant to a one-drop rule, which is to say a point of view that suggested that anyone who was in any way descended from people of African descent, then you were black in the United States, and that's the way I was raised.
So what did this personal epiphany do in the way that you thought about yourself and the way you thought of the student sitting in front of you?
Well, it reminded me something that I often explain to my students, that ideas about race change over time and across generations, and that what I was seeing in front of me was a generation of students who had been born subsequent to the United States Supreme Court decision in Loving versus Virginia, which is to say subsequent to the striking down of anti-miscegenation laws in the United States, and that they had a set of possibilities about identity that I had not enjoyed. My one-drop rule had become their mixed-race identity.
And it really hammered home how what is real in 2014 is certainly not what was real, let's say, in 1964.
That is correct. That is correct. And we're still grappling with the implications of that shift, I think.
Tell me about that. What kind of implications does that offer?
Well, the question that I asked recently is, what does it mean that we now count, if you will, mixed-race Americans? On the United States Census since the year 2000, we are all offered the opportunity to check more than one box when we self-identify vis-a-vis race. In 2010, more than 9 million Americans responded by checking more than one box. At the University of Michigan, since 2010, we've given our students the same sort of option when they self-identify in terms of race, and we learn that 3.3% of our students, a significant number of our students, now self-identify as mixed race. And my question for myself and for our university community was, what does that mean?
Yeah.
In terms of diversity.
And what do you think that does mean? Because at the same time that you tell us this, there's certainly been a lot of conversation on Michigan's campus this school year about the declining enrollment numbers of black students. I think I see 7.8% in 2004 to 4.8% this year. But then you also see this 3.3% self-identifying as mixed race. How does that all fit, do you think?
Well, I have to say first that I was very inspired by the hashtag campaign and the student activism that has followed that, the BBUM or Being Black at the University of Michigan campaign that our students have undertaken during this year. That has been exciting and important and has really generated a new sort of attention to the question of diversity at Michigan. I was also inspired by work we did during the last academic year with NPR's Michelle Norris, who you may know, mm-hmm. came to Ann Arbor in 2012 and 2013 with her Race Card Project. And in that project, Michelle invited members of the University of Michigan community to, in six words, capture some essence of their thoughts about race. And one of the things that I think I did not anticipate when we began that project was how many people would, in fact, when they reflected on race, talk about the mixed race experience.
In fact, Michelle Norris has even said herself on NPR that this issue of mixed race has come up the most during the Race Card Project.
I get a lot of submissions around a dilemma involving the exercise of checking a box to determine your racial identity.
I like the way in your Huffington Post piece you wrote that mixed race students navigate a world that is often still organized around boxes of racial certitude. What price do you think we pay for those boxes of racial certitude?
Well, I think one of the prices that we pay is silence, that when people don't see themselves as reflected in our census questionnaire or in our university statistics or in the way we organize student organizations and campus life, I think the first price we pay is silence. And that's why the work on the Race Card Project was so important for us, because it brought to light voices that I think we had overlooked by and large on our campus. So today, I think part of what my suggestion is we start by listening, and that we create the kind of spaces and the kinds of conversations that give mixed race students the opportunity to really teach us what it means to be a mixed race person, how that shapes their experience on our campus, but in the world, and how that is perhaps a part of our story of diversity, and which is a value that we very much honor at the University of Michigan.
And really for a large national conversation for schools and universities, it's important for them to say we have a diverse student body. But as you point out, at so many schools, mixed race students aren't being counted. So it is a big missed opportunity for these schools, isn't it?
Well, I think it is. And, you know, one of the things that, Cynthia, that I've encountered in the many, many comments that I've gotten on these pieces is a concern that somehow mixed race people are playing two sides of the street or using race as a card when it's convenient. And I want to say to those skeptics or those critics, well, then let's do the work and study that, because I don't think there's any empirical evidence that suggests that somehow mixed race identity is a dishonest or a strategic move on the part of our students, for example. But we need to do the empirical work to understand better how it is that mixed race people are self-identifying, how they fit in to a campus that is still organized around a kind of racial certitude. And we need to learn more. We need to get better at doing the work we already do very well.
And some of this is just going to take time, isn't it? Because as you point out, it wasn't until 2010, for example, at U of M that students got the option to check more than one box. Do you see a day when it will be nothing to even think twice about?
Well, I'll say that some of my readers will tell me that day has already arrived. And they'll say, well, this is no news. And I'm a historian, and so I appreciate that in some sense the fact of people of what we would call mixed race has always been a feature of the United States, its demographics, and its culture. We had different terms for mixed race people in the 19th century United States when the census permitted respondents to be identified as mulattoes,
yes,
or quadroons.
Yes.
So there's an older history here, and I take the reader's point that this is part of a much longer story in some sense. At the same time, I think for the first time, our questions are about the experience, the contributions to diversity, and the political situatedness of mixed race people are still open questions for us in 2014.
Martha, when you had that moment, as you described in that seminar class in 2010, when you hear so many students say, oh, I'm mixed race, I'm from a mixed race family, and you found yourself saying, me too, was that liberating for you, or was it unsettling to have to find yourself stepping away from the black identification you'd lived with your whole life?
The truth is it was terrifying, which is to say the stakes in identity and race and identity in the United States are oftentimes huge, personally, politically, and socially. And so I recognized in that moment that I was stepping outside of my box, if you will. And for many of us, that's a moment of great discomfort. At the same time, I am a teacher. And part of the reason I'm a teacher is because I know that in my classrooms, over my lifetime, I will continue to learn and my ideas will change, and that oftentimes the changes in my own ideas and insights come by way of my students. It's one of the great gifts in the life of a professor. So it was an exciting moment at the same time because I thought, now these young people have opened up an area of inquiry, a set of questions about myself personally, but also opened up new avenues for research and writing.
Martha S. Jones is an associate professor of history, law, Afro-American, and African studies at the University of Michigan. Her piece in the Huffington Post is entitled, When It Comes to Diversity, Who Counts? Thank you so much for sharing your story and your thoughts with us today on Stateside, Martha.
Thank you, Cynthia.